Hello and welcome to The Ticket, the podcast where we explore the cutting edge of customer service and support. Today, we're thrilled to have Mercer Smith, VP of Managed Operations at Partner Hero and the author of CXOXO, Building a Support Team Your Customers Will Love. Mercer joins our own Bobby Stapleton, Senior Director of Human Support at Intercom, to share her expertise on using AI to elevate your customer service operations without sacrificing the personal touch that customers cherish. Mercer dives into how AI can streamline support operations, allowing team members to focus on more complex and rewarding tasks. She'll discuss the strategic integration of AI tools and tons more. So let's head over to studio to Bobby and Mercer.
Hello, Mercer. You're very welcome to The Ticket. So yeah, just to start us off, tell us a bit about your role as VP of Managed Operations at Partner Hero.
Yeah, for sure. So what I do is I effectively run the line of business that brings all of our tech, both internal and third party, and our services, both dedicated and flex, to bear to offer cost reduction for our partners over a usually contracted span of time. So typically we offer 30% reduction over 2 years of time.
And when I think of operations, it's like anything and everything I imagine can fall under your umbrella. So like, what's one or two typical parts of your week?
Sure. Yeah. So primarily I work in the CX space. So we'll be looking at, you know, finding efficiencies in terms of automation or looking at documentation and finding improvements and calculating costs of service over time based on metrics around that.
Awesome. Yeah, I imagine for any support leaders listening in, a lot of that sounds familiar. And then you mentioned the like calculating the cost and the ROI, and that's often where it becomes a little bit more gray and difficult. So
yes,
really excited to have you on today to hear about your experience. And especially, I feel like all of those things pair so well with AI and the changes we're seeing in today's technology and tech stack. So cool. Well, jumping into it then, you've previously emphasized that the role of AI in freeing up team members in order to kind of focus on more complex tasks. Give us some examples of how you've seen AI take over those repetitive things and how it's like helped customer service and how it's allowed those human workers to engage in that more meaningful work.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that I'm very, very passionate about, despite the fact that I know that there's tons of amazing technology in the CX space. I also think of customer support as a career. Like, I think you can be here forever and be very happy and successful. So when I think about utilizing AI to, you know, empower your team members to be more efficient and to take on more complex tasks, or even like, you know, grow their career into spaces that might be more interesting to them than just like strict queue work, I think about stuff like, you know, like chat assist or even in context assist, agent assist in your help desk, right? So like having something that presents contextual information about conversations with the customer historically, or contextual information about, you know, where they've been on your website or what documentation they've already looked at, right? I think a lot of the time, especially if they're like level one or level two agents or, you know, team members or whatever you call them, is like looking up that information. And it's tedious, right? Like that's part of the, like, that's the most boring part of support work, is like looking up all the background information. And so I think that's like one really, really small but super impactful step that you can take to empower those team members. And then beyond that, like you give them more time, right? Because I think once you find those efficiencies, people that are leading support teams or managing or directing or whatever can start implementing things like out of the queue time or like special project time, where you can find out what people are really passionate about. Like, is there someone on your team that like really gives a hoot about documentation? Great. Amazing. Like, get them out of the queue for like 25% of their time, which you can usually do by finding efficiencies with AI, and let them do that. And that will create this like flywheel of efficiency, right? Because then you've got great docs and people are emailing in less, and then you have less stuff that needs to be handled by the support team. And it's just like, it's like a really beautiful snowball effect. Yeah.
We often talk about, it's a weird phrase. We start using this phrase of like feeding the beast. And you're right. It's like, you're making these articles or content that is going to make humans more efficient. It's also then available for your AI to pull from.
Yep.
Maybe the chatbots can take it and use that. So things don't even have to come back around to your humans. But you bring up that really crucial step of like the human being that gets to sit down and write that out or like fill in those contact gaps. And that can be really rewarding. It's nice to use the different muscles and skills than just, you know, sitting there working through the queue. And it still has, it's not just like, oh, this makes Bobby feel good. It's like, no, it's like, it's making him feel good. And it's having this business impact too. So,
yeah. And let us not forget, right, like AI always needs a human in the loop. Like you will always need a human to be there and training the AI or looking at the models or making sure that the content that you're putting into it is accurate, creating filters, creating views. And that's something that a lot of people are pretty stoked about too, right? Like AI is so hot right now and people really want to talk about it. And so when you give your support team members, the opportunity to like get their hands dirty in working with AI, I think it makes it a significantly less intimidating prospect for them, right? Because it's no longer this like foreign thing that's going to take our jobs. It's like something that we actually have to impact and train and work with.
You highlight this really important part of like building trust with your teams and this crucial element of bringing them along during this technology transitions. Like, what are your key principles for building and maintaining that trust when introducing new tech like AI?
Totally. I mean, my philosophy in life is just to keep it real, right? Like I am, I don't know if you follow me on LinkedIn, but I have a lot of hot takes there and I'm very honest about my opinions. And I try to be that way with my team as well, right? So I try to tell them how I'm feeling about it. I try to give them like the legit reasons why we're implementing it. And because of that level of honesty, I've cultivated trust with them where if they don't agree with something or they don't think that I'm doing something the right way, they'll bring it to me and they will be honest about that. And so I think, you know, part of this is like, be straight up with your team. If you are really trying to cut costs by implementing AI, let them know that and let them know how much you're trying to cut, right? Like they have a right to understand those things. And if you're keeping that from them and sheltering them, you're doing them a disservice because maybe they want to go on to be a team lead or maybe they want to go on to be a manager and they'll never have the ability to create that knowledge for themselves if you are not sharing that information. Obviously, if it's like, hey, we're trying to cut the support team in half and that's what we're trying to do, like maybe, you know, inspect that a little bit and figure out a way to communicate that with them that's not going to terrify them. Though I suspect, you know, if you're like, how can I bring my team along on this journey? You're not also like, let me cut my team in half to cut costs. I feel like those two things don't really exist in the same basket.
I love that point of just honesty and transparency. And even let's pretend someone is looking to cut their support team in half. Like, hopefully, as a support leader, you're able to have a dialogue with your boss, with your finance team, and doing something smart with those savings. Maybe it's like, hey, we're cutting our support headcounts inboxing team in half, but we're taking some of those roles and repositioning them for quality or for the knowledge and content for the bots, or doing things like building out chatbot analysts, things like that. And so, yes, still maybe as business owners, you're working towards this collective savings, but you're able to tell the team, like, here's the other avenues that will come from this, or, hey, yeah, we're not laying people off, but this is going through like organic attrition as people go on and move to their next thing. We're not backfilling. Even just like that level of transparency can help quell the nightmare story folks might be telling themselves.
Totally. And even like offering secondments to other teams, like those are really great opportunities if you have the infrastructure and the size of company to be able to support it, right? Like, I think it can be a really exciting opportunity as well. Some of my best like transitions as a support leader have been like people that move from support to product or people that move from support to engineering, because you have like a little support spy in those other organizations and they can advocate for the customer where the customer might not always be the most thought of. I mean, obviously, like I will always say that support is a place where you can stay and you don't need to move to product or engineering or whatever to have a meaningful and delightful career. But if that is something that you want to do, then this, the dawn of AI is a great time to do it.
Definitely. From your perspective, how can customer service teams leverage AI tools without losing the personal touch that's critical for those customer interactions?
Yeah, The place where I see this happen the most is chatbots. And I think, again, this comes down to like ownership, right? Like you really need to own that what you're doing is not human, right? And like be upfront about it, because there are so many companies that implement chatbots and just try to pretend that it's like Joe Smith, the chat guy, and not like, you know, Robot Sam, the AI. And I think that that breaks down a lot of customer trust, because they think like, okay, I'm talking to a human, let me talk to them like a human, right? And then they discover, oh, actually, this is just a bot. And the company is lying to me, trying to pretend that it's not a bot. And this is a crummy customer experience. So I'm equally frustrated because I've lost trust. And now the experience is really crummy. So what do, right? And so I think one of the biggest wins is just being honest. If you're using chat or if you're using AI in any capacity, like just straight up say it, be like, hey, we used AI to generate this response. Let us know what you thought, right? Instead of trying to pretend like that you're using a human interaction there. Because I think once you kind of open up the curtains a little bit and are more honest with your customers, it helps them to trust you and it helps them feel like they're a part of it rather than like, oh, I'm just being forced to use this AI because they don't have enough people to staff or chat is not important to them or, you know, whatever else.
And to in your experience, why do you think companies or support leaders tend to try to, like, why do you think they try to put that fake human, this is James, the chatbot, like, what do you think the fear is? Like, what do you think is driving that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, everyone, I think, like, wants to be this customer experience driven company, right? Like, everyone says that now. They're like, we are driven by the customers. We are customer centric. And that's like a big selling point now. And it has been since, you know, the pandemic, I think really shifted that. And I think that people are scared that if they're using a bot, it's going to show their customers that they don't care as much about the experience, right? Because like bots, especially for certain demographics, have this reputation of being crummy, right? Like people are like, I don't want to talk to a bot. Get me to a human. Like, let me talk to a human on the phone or let me talk to a human in the chat. And I think that it comes down to that. But I think if you're honest about what it is and you let the customer know and set expectations from the start, that negates some of that anguish that can come from later discovering that you're talking to like an automated thing. Like it's, I think it's the same way as like back in the day, I don't know how old you are, so this may not resonate with you, but like every time you called a phone service channel and it was like an automated, like a really crummy IVR back when like IVR was going to like save the day for phone support. And I would just like instantly hang up. And that's kind of where we're at with chat bots right now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, I wonder for anyone listening, like if there's ways to, ways to try to make that experience magical, for lack of a better adjective. And like definitely, like you said, first and foremost, being upfront and honest, we call our AI chatbot Finn. It's not a robot emoji, but it's kind of robot-y, smiley, looks like the Intercom logo. Like we're not trying to convince anyone they're talking to Bobby, but I think if you can like those types of signals, as well as like letting people know, it's like, yeah, we have the entire knowledge base of anything that's ever existed at Intercom here to answer your question immediately. Like whether it's that type of phrasing or ways to just like allude to customers that like, hey, this isn't going to suck. This is actually going to be pretty cool. And like, if you ever do need to talk to a human, we're still going to be here for that too. Like, and hopefully alleviate those fears.
Yeah. I think that there's really clever ways to do it depending on your branding too, right? Like Capital One surprisingly does a good job of this because they're just like, this is our bot. Don't worry. You won't have to talk to the bot forever. If you need a human, it'll be here, right? They have to be more professional, obviously. But then you could also go the route of like Feastables, for instance, which has made like a smarter child style bot, which like you can ask questions about Mr. Beast and be like, when's Mr. Beast's birthday? And like have conversations with it, right? And I think that like finding the right tone for your brand and being upfront and offering those signals like Finn does, I think can be really helpful in terms of like again, setting the right expectations in context for the conversation rather than hoping that they don't know that it's a bot or, you know, that kind of thing.
Just before we continue with today's episode, I wanted to let you know that episode 2 of Offscript, our new series of candid conversations with Intercom, all about the extraordinary AI-driven transformation we're currently experiencing, is out now on YouTube. Here's a teaser featuring our Chief Product Officer, Paul Adams, discussing AI-first customer service.
The best place for me to start is that technology only moves in one direction. Once you go through these, like, before-after moments, you never go back. AI has clearly already shown us that it can help in transformational ways. It has given us a new way to do customer service. And that new way is AI first. The business that provides incredible customer service is the business that will win. And the earlier that people lean into this completely new mindset, the earlier they can deliver this incredible holy grail type of customer experience. It's a huge opportunity for businesses to literally change how people think about them. It's just a matter of time.
That's all to come on episode 2 of Offscript. You can watch it on Intercom's YouTube channel right now, and we'll bring you audio versions of the episodes right here. Now, back to today's episode.
And anything else that you would add on just like not losing that personal touch? You know, we're using AI, we're using the bots. Anything else that helps not lose the personal touch?
Yeah, like just training. Like you cannot just turn on AI and be like, this will be fine. Everything's going to be fine and expect it to like automatically match the amazing humans that you have on your team, because that's why humans are great. They have the EQ. They have the ability to engage these conversations and kind of reflect back on what the customer is saying. And AI doesn't yet have that, though, you know, in the future, I'm sure it will. So just make sure that when you're setting up the AI, you do so in a way that like trains it effectively and has your tone and style and has accurate information, and regularly do QA on the bot conversations that people are having as well. Like, I think that I heard something the other day where it was like bot CSAT is like 45, and that's okay because that's, you know, bot CSAT's just automatically low. And it's like, no, that's not the mentality that you should be having, you know, like you should be trying to make it better and training it rather than just accepting like, oh, bots are not as good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Our own, I'm going to say this out loud, because that's the point of this podcast now, is like we started using our own like Fin CSAT, and it was a very small sample size to start off with. But yeah, it was in like the 60s or 70s. Normally our target is at a 95. And so we saw that and we were like, oh no. And it was like, have that, like some of it was frustration with Fin or customers not understanding that like we were still there for a human. Some of those people were still unhappy with the answers. And so, you know, then the human could jump in and help assuage that and everything. But yeah, no, you're definitely right. Like, it shouldn't just be this like, well, it's like, sorry, it sucks. Like, move on. It's great that we have so much of our involvement going, or so much of our volume going through these chatbots. But like you said, having like a very specific way that you're either like tagging that and reviewing or using, having a support tool that does have like bot CSAT, different motions or mechanisms. So do you have any like favorites for QAing bots?
I mean, honestly, that's such a tricky thing to say. If your tool that you're using as a help desk has that built in, then that's going to be ideal. But I think that there are also a lot of companies that don't have that level of maturation yet, where they're like having an established QA process and they're just kind of exporting to Sheets. So I'm going to be diplomatic and say, no, I don't have any favorite tools there, because there are so many amazing ones that do it. And also you could just do it manually by using a sheet. But I think most of the help desk tools that are centered around having multiple channels will have some kind of QA there. And I'm pretty sure Intercom does. So
yeah.
I love Intercom, everyone.
Surprise, here we are. Yeah. And at the end of the day, like you said, it's finding, doing something and not just being like, well, that volume is not coming to us anymore. So hope that things turned out okay. Having a strategy. So, okay, well, thinking about somewhat shifting gears, when you think about like building out your service strategy for the year, walk me through like how you're thinking about that with AI. Like, did you have some like goals and roadmap items and you're like, now how can I use AI to augment that? Or when you were building out your plan for the year, you were like, we know AI can be this transformational experience. And like, was that your starting point? So yeah, walk me and the listeners through that.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, as I mentioned, like a core crux of what I'm doing right now is specifically thinking about cost reduction while also maintaining excellent customer experience, right? And so a humongous part of that is agent assist, chat bots, all of that kind of stuff, like in context assist and things like that. So I knew going in that I needed to build a model that took that into consideration. And so what we did was we took some sample data, right? We pulled sample data historically from like 2 years. And this is for individual programs, right? So what Partner Hero does is an outsourcing company. We have partners that come to us. We handle something like 8 million or something tickets a month. So it's like pretty bonkers. But anyway, back to the point. I looked at the data historically over 2 years, and then I did a 2-year forecast, right? And I looked at the volume over phone and chat and email, as well as average handle time and utilization for agents. And like, okay, how much are we actually using these people? How much time off do they have, et cetera? And QA. And then assessed what we could put through AI and what we could assist with through AI. So we got a deflection number through analysis. Like, okay, here are our tier one tickets that we could assess. We added that into the model, so that we could see like, okay, as it grows, which you should be able to do if you, as volume grows, AI, based on the amount of deflection that we're currently having, could handle this much or more after implementation.
Gotcha.
And then beyond that, we also looked at where we would be able to reduce average handle time, which would up our utilization for agents or up our utilization for them to be able to do outside projects like documentation. So that is how I did forecasting this year.
Well, you're like, and it took years of my life.
It really and truly did. Yeah.
Capacity planning. Woohoo. Yeah. And I love that you highlight the using AI, like you said, at the start for deflection, as well as using AI for, you know, improving handling time, improving utilization. I think that's like the right, again, humans and bots, it's the right two way to be looking at it. Would you have any if you are interacting with other companies and stuff, do you have any guidelines for like what folks should like maybe set as like a low benchmark targets for bot involvement?
Yeah, I mean, that's really tricky, right? It depends on your business. It also depends on your maturity level. Like, how long has your support org been around? What are you already doing? But I mean, I think if you are like a pretty high volume SaaS company, you can usually expect to have like 20% deflection based on like appropriate and dedicated AI usage. That to say that, I mean, like training it, making sure it has the docs, making sure that you don't just like set it and forget it and hope that it continues to work. Like, I mean, someone on your team that's really managing the strategy, I think that that's on the low side. You could even go higher than that probably. For instance, when I was at Trello, we implemented some just automated stuff in our contact forms, which, you know, showed up information in our docs, which I know that y'all have as well. We were not using Intercom at that time, but I know Intercom has it. And we deflected 26% of our tickets, which was like really big for us at that point, because we were a 5-person team serving 20 million users. So
that's huge. And yeah, like I imagine the five of you, any support people can relate to that, just being swamped, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, breathing room? Like,
yes.
Total game changer.
Yes, 100%.
You've talked about the ethical considerations of using AI in customer support. Anything you want to elaborate on there for ethical implications businesses should consider when using AI?
Yes. If you are using AI or you are building with AI or anything like that, please take care to make sure that it's not scummy, I guess, is what I will say. Like, so much AI has a lot of bias, right? And a lot of bias built in. Like, if you look at ChatGPT, there's some really, I'll just say, problematic studies around some of the stuff that it's returned and what it can return, right? And so just doing due diligence on that as you're evaluating tools or as you're implementing tools, take care with what you're putting into the bot, because I liken them to like toddlers. They'll hear something like one time and then they're like, oh yeah, that's true. that's true for sure, 100% true. And it's like, no, it's not. That's not true. So just do your due diligence as you're evaluating and implementing to ensure that you are following ethical processes, or the tool has done some kind of QA to also follow ethical processes, especially if you're talking to customers with it.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I've seen Intercom, some other SaaS companies where, like, on the chatbot side, you're gating what it's pulling from, which is great. And then see on Twitter the examples of companies launching chatbots that haven't been implemented well. They don't have those gates, and you can ask it anything and everything, and it's not what you want probably for your brand. So
it is not. No, sure isn't.
It's bad news.
Yeah.
Can't let you go without giving a shout out to your new book, which was just published, CXOXO, Building a Support Team Your Customers Will Love. Great title. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So obviously, I've been in the game for a while now, and I've been leading teams for a while, and I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people, usually in like the mentor-mentee capacity. And I wanted to create a resource that people that couldn't get time with me on Zoom could use to kind of reference. My son has this like Stardew Valley guidebook, which he uses all the time, and he like opens it up and looks at it and looks at the different fish. And my intention was to create something like that, but for customer support and customer experience. So there's actually a whole chapter on like numbers and ROI and building pivot tables, along with, you know, some of the more basic stuff like what channels should I use? What are the benefits of different channels? What are the drawbacks and kind of best practices to implement for agents? So it kind of runs the gamut. I'm really stoked about it. And thank you for giving me the chance to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. I can only imagine that's so invaluable. And it's one thing to like do a Google search and be like, average handling time is important. But it's another thing to like have the actual details, the in the trenches, in the weeds that I think, yeah, support leaders are looking for. And to have it a new book, again, I'm sure if you did find any of that content years ago, it's now a million years old, not relevant at all. So having a new resource like this with practical advice is really, really awesome. So big kudos on getting that out into the world.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Where can people go to keep up with you online?
Yeah, I am only on LinkedIn. You can find me there as Mercer Smith. I have a website, but I do not keep it terribly updated as I'm not on the speaker circuit as much anymore. But if you want to go there and see my old talks and old content, it's mercenator.com.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mercer. Lots of really good stuff here. And it was great chatting with you.
Same to you. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Bobby Stapleton talking to Mercer Smith there. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter at intercom.com/blog/newsletter for more insights into the ever-evolving world of customer service and support. And for those of you who are passionate about product design and development, don't forget to explore our sister podcast, Intercom on Product. Find it in your podcast player of choice or visit inter.com/productpodcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.